Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquez and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
It's game day. You only got one job to do. That's win. That means you stay focused for four quarters. Know your assignments and finish on every play. Don't be looking for shortcuts and don't even think about making excuses. Because if you want the W, you're going to have to earn it. Nothing comes for free. Not 1 yard. You pay for it with sweat, with determination, with heart. You do things the right way. Because that's the only way. You pick up your teammates. You keep your head high. And you remember everything you went through to get here. Because at the end of the day, there's only one person looking back at you in the mirror. And that's one person you don't want to cheat. So now it's on you. It's your decision to make. You're going to hold back and leave a little something inside? Or you're going to do your job and leave nothing?
Show as usual. Well, I'm going to be ducking in and out of the show today, and I tell you what, I'm really glad that I've got such a fantastic team behind me because I've just got one of those days, you know, that just kind of creep up on you, and you just got a lot of things going on at one time, and a buddy of mine's getting married today. I got to help him out with sound, so I'm going to be kind of working in the backgrounds of the show today as my guys from RadioSpeedTalk.com. We're going to run their normal show. For those of you that don't know about RadioSpeedTalk.com, they have their own show every week, and they're going to be running a show every week here on the Balance Radio Network, probably on Fridays. We're still working that out. But today we're going to run this week's show. Normally, as you know, here on Saturday morning, 9 a.m. To 10 a.m., they're on, and then we're talking racing with them. But because of how we're doing structuring the show today, we're just going to run their show. So we're going to go into that, and then in hour number two, guys, you won't want to miss this. I tell you what, the Three Stooges is going to be back right here in the studio. Well, yeah, not the real Three Stooges, but they're close to Larry Moe and Curly. Evan Williams is going to be taking my chair at 10 o'clock here, and he's going to be talking about the Cardinals, the Cubs, home opener out there at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Now, the Cardinals let this one slip by, but fortunately, it's still early in the season, and the Cardinals have time to redeem themselves off. So Purdue's got their blue and gold game today. I'm sure he'll be talking about that. Josh, $2 bill, Josh Elmore was out at home opener last night covering the home opener of the Indianapolis Indians against the Toledo Mudhens for IndyProSports.com. He had the Balance IndyProSport.com credential down there covering the Indians home game, and they're going to talk about that. And then at 10:30, Super Colts fan Brian Jensen joins the show, and they're going to be talking NFL draft coming up. And obviously, a lot of talk about the Colts draft. Is it going to be Luck? Is it going to be Griffin? Well, of course, everybody knows my stance on that. It's going to be Griffin, that's for sure. Well, right now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to go straight from that break to our guys over at RadioSpeedTalk.com for hour number one. And then hour number two, Evan Williams $2 Bill Josh and Brian Jensen will be joining the show. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Minions, I do expect you to be on your best behavior today while I am out and about attending to other things. Because if I get a bad report from my minions, well, you know what? It's just not going to be pretty for you. I'm just saying it's just not going to be pretty. Well, my name's Tom Marquis. Welcome to The Balance, guys. Right around the corner, the guys at RadioSpeedTalk.com. We'll be right back.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. March Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
I just got three things to say. God bless our troops. God bless America. And gentlemen, start your engine!
Wow!
It's time for Speed Talk. With host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
And Pete LaFuchsia.
I may be weird, but I'm not stupid. Or am I?
You're not a freak, and I won't let you think that about yourself.
Why can't you support my gibberish?
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I am not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
If it has an engine and goes fast, they talk about it.
This is the show for you.
We have done things that some folks don't even know about.
Great in-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Bard.
He's our Joe Biden.
Ryan Newman looking for his first checkered flag since the 2008 Daytona 500.
Hello, Newman!
It's Newman at the line.
Yes, sir, baby!
All right.
Danica, we saw what happened in the pit. You didn't get a chance to talk to Ryan on the track. You were pulled away. What do you want to tell him?
Probably best that I didn't get down there anyway, isn't it?
Go on, cry home to your mama. She waiting for you.
Through the final two corners, J.R. Hildebrand. Careful of traffic. He's got to get around the left. Traffic. 100 gears now.
You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
We're racing for the big money, and we're racing for points, and we're racing for the all-inclusive NHRA Full Throttle World Championship, which is just huge in itself.
Okay, I'm not sure what that first part meant, but that last bit was
pure evil.
I was driving around the racetrack, driving with my knee, looking out the window at the fans and waving at them. And when I turned to look back, I ran head-on in the wall and destroyed my car to start finish line. That was embarrassing.
Well,
I was born to a racer, grew up around racing.
I am truly jealous.
And now here are the hosts of Speed Talk.
This romance just got interesting.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before. You people are amazing.
Cliff Tanner and Pete LaFuchsia.
Thank you, Rod Tanner. Welcome, junkies, to another great edition of Speed Talk. Wow, man, racing is back. We've all had a week off. Hopefully everybody had a great Easter. Check us out on the Laffy Cliff Radio Network. And go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, become a speed junkie, and we will be naming one of those later on in the show. And also, you can go to Facebook, type in Speed Talk and Radio Speed Talk 2 on Twitter. Guys, kind of an off week, but not even, 20 minutes ago or so, the 25 nominees for NASCAR Hall of Fame was released. Kind of interesting. We'll talk about that a little bit. Kenny, you want to tell us who all they picked this time?
Yeah, and I'm going to go alphabetically because that's the way I found it.
I didn't notice that till
yeah. Okay, we have easy for you to say. Buck Baker, Red Byron, Richard Childress, Jerry Cook, H. Clay Earls, Tim Flock, Ray Fox, Annie Bledsoe France, Rick Hendrick, Jack Ingram, Bobby Isaac, Fred Lorenzen, Cotton Owens, Raymond Parks, Benny Parsons, Les Richter, Fireball Roberts, T. Wayne Robertson, Wendell Scott, that'll get Pete all fired up, Ralph Seagraves, Herb Thomas, Curtis Turner, Rusty Wallace, Joe Weatherly, and Leonard Wood.
Right, so they didn't leave out the Wood brother like I thought they might.
No, they never. They won't, because they've been around for a long time.
I know.
But before we go there, I almost forgot. Joining us today, it's going to be a very busy show. There will be no 1 minute with the mechanic or Cliff's comments this time. I'm telling you, it's crazy. But we're going to have Bob Tasker III with us from NHRA. Roger Curtis is going to talk to us about the tire testing that went on in the fast speeds, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to the first race this year, guys. I don't know about you. And Scott Smith with an NHRA and Lucas Oil Raceway. Hey, I did it.
You didn't say park.
All right.
You know, the sad thing is I said park in my head. When you said that, you go, Lucas Oil Raceway, and I go, park.
Back to the list. I apologize, folks, for this is going to be a very fast show. And we'll have our predictions back and all that good stuff as well.
And we'll revisit this list later. Maybe we'll do a whole webisode or whatever we're calling it, talking about our predictions. For a
couple of new guys up that I noticed right off the top. Wendell Scott and obviously... the first African American to win, and a great guy anyway. As far as I'm concerned, he should have been on there from
first,
the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
But Rusty Wallace, I was kind of surprised by that. I didn't realize that he was eligible this year, but he's there.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing, you're missing a first on the list, first female, Annie France. She's the first female to be nominated.
I missed that one.
So
you're right.
There's two right there. We've got some others. Basically, 20 people that were on the list last year are there. Cotton Owens, I just like his name. And plus, the guy looks like my great uncle. So,
Kenny, any surprises for you on the list this time?
No. A couple names that I had long forgotten about, and a couple that I really didn't know anything about. Ralph Seagraves, but he was with R.J. Reynolds during the heyday of popularity through the Winston Cup. Kind of thing. I'd never even heard of him before. T. Wayne Robertson is another one with R.J. Reynolds Cup that I hadn't heard of.
So that's all that they're...
I've got some little bit of handle on them, their history or what they've done or hadn't done or what... The Bobby Isaac, I like that, but he's got a strange story about crawling out of a race car one time.
Well, you know what's interesting about this list is now we're seeing other people... outside of just crew chiefs and drivers, which leads me to believe, and this is the one that struck me, and I said this last year, is I hope they open it up to broadcasters, because Barney Hall and some of the other guys from MRN and PRN and all them, they deserve to be in there too, because they've done some great calls for the races and all that. And then some guys that have done TV, I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Well, I can tell you a couple off the top of your head. Is Chris Economaki was huge, and then the guy who actually sold NASCAR to CBS, Ken Squire, who was the voice of NASCAR
Ken Squire.
But the big name on here, you want to talk about, even though he's not being known for his broadcasting ability, Benny Parsons. I still miss that guy.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite broadcasters. And actually, I'm surprised he's not in there now. I would have thought Benny Parsons would have made it in just before Daryl Waltrip. That's my thought. I mean, if you were to put him on a tier, not that Daryl didn't belong in there.
Because NASCAR couldn't handle him crying for him.
Oh, yeah, believe me.
That, or you know why, though? In reality, it's probably because Daryl's here and Benny's not.
Yeah, exactly.
And Benny's personality, as big as it was, and as wonderful it was, and as helpful as it was, is in our memory, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
He's in our memory, and he wasn't really popular with some of the drivers either.
Oh, I know. He did something up until then nobody else had done. Didn't he win two back? He was one of the he was the first one to go back to back, wasn't he? Or championships?
Buck Baker's did that way back.
Okay, I'm thinking something different. Oh, Benny did win a championship. I think Benny won his championship with no wins that year. Is that what it was? He did something spectacular in his championship year, didn't he?
Benny Parsons was the first one to win three back-to-back championships, wasn't he?
No. That was Yarborough.
That was Yarborough.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize for that. So, interesting. I don't know. I understand that Annie France did help build NASCAR. I'm not sure if I really agree with the fact that she should be on that list as of right now. I mean, obviously her husband was the one that built NASCAR.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's kind of weird, and maybe it's just is that the lock on making sure every France member gets in there.
Well, they own it.
Yeah,
they do, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, is it time for that, or is that one of those posthumous ones that should be?
Here's another thing. Since they're only putting in five a year, I think if I was part of the committee, I would literally weigh, okay, who do we still have around that may not be around one or two more years? Okay, Richard Childress can wait another year or two. Rusty Wallace can wait a couple years. But, you know, we already know Rusty's going to make a first ballot. If I'm a betting man right now, I will bet you a dollar and a Coke that he will be in this year.
That's what everybody said about Daryl Waltrip, and he didn't make the first.
I'll take that bet. Okay. Can I have a cherry Coke on that, or a cherry Diet Coke?
I will do the same.
We'll get into this more, and we'll argue.
Yeah, we'll have to go as we get closer. But I just thought I'd bring that up. Like I said, we were just literally preparing for the show and came out like 20 minutes
in the list, yeah.
So we were kind of going through it and going over it.
And somebody's going, hey, that was on Wednesday. Yes, we record on Wednesday nights, folks.
Well, hey, don't forget. Yeah, that's right, because we have to do it because our affiliates
needed
all over
by then, yeah.
And we want to thank them again, too. All right, folks, we need to go ahead and take a break. Hang on for a heck of a ride. Bob Tasker, Roger Curtis, Scott Smith coming up. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Someday. It's when you're finally going to get around to those home improvements. At Wells Fargo, we've learned there's never a spot on your calendar for someday, but there's always one for today. A home equity account from Wells Fargo is a great way to pay for important things like putting your kids through college or that master bedroom you've been thinking about. Why wait for someday? Ask about a home equity account from Wells Fargo today. Wells Fargo, the next stage. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
I'm Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway and a fellow race fan. There's only so much time and money to do the things you really love in life. That's why we're making sure your time at the track this summer is better than ever. MIS is dedicated to delivering exciting NASCAR racing and a great escape with friends and family. You've earned your fun this summer, and MIS is committed to making sure you get it. We'll see you at the track. Michigan International Speedway. It's your speed.
Hey, this is Joey Logano. You're listening to Speed Talk with Cliff and Pete.
All right, we're now joined by one of our great friends from the NHRA circuit in the funny car division, Bob Tasker, the third Bob. What's going on, buddy?
How you doing, guys? Great to be on the show.
Hey, man, we always love having you on. Pretty soon here, you're going to be a co-host. You keep showing up here like this, bud.
Hey, listen, anytime. We love to represent Ford Motorcraft and Quick Lane on that funny car. Came out of Vegas with a lot of momentum going to the finals there, losing to our teammate Robert Hight. And, hey, listen, we went to the finals here at the 4-wide last year, so hopefully we can do just a little bit better and take that trophy.
Well, talk a little bit about Vegas, man. I mean, you definitely got the momentum going on. that had to definitely make you feel better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Obviously, you know, a little bit of a gamble there, bringing in Dickie Venables, and you know, a lot of people questioning that, saying, "Gee, how are you going to get three people to work together?" And you're changing your whole dynamic of your team. You know, but the bottom line is that what people don't realize is that I've known Dickie Venables for a long, long time. Obviously, have a great relationship with Chris Cunningham. This was never about replacing Chris or Mark. It's about building a brain trust. And you know, at the end of the day, we're competing against dynasties with John Force Racing and the Pedregons and Schumacher camps that have a established brain trust. And you know, these cars run on the edge of a razor blade, and you know, very, very small decisions make big changes on the racetrack. And I think Dickie will bring a little bit more experience to the camp, and hopefully a little different perspective on some things. And clearly, it worked extremely well in Vegas, and hopefully we can carry it on for the rest of the season.
Well, you know, there's always going to be the naysayers out there excuse me, that try to make more problems than there really is. But it's like you said, man, it's all about getting a team together and getting that brain trust and just, you know, developing from there.
Yeah, and you know, and I have so much respect for Chris and Mark. You know, these are normal guys. There are crew chiefs out there that have such egos that they just physically couldn't accept a change like this. But, you know, Mark and Chris embrace it. They say, "Hey, listen, boss, let's get as many smart people together as we can." You know, they realize that someone has to make a call, you know, and at this point in time, Dickie's making the calls. And, you know, I had a real heart-to-heart with Dickie. You know, I said, it's real simple. The scoreboard doesn't have any friends. At the end of the day, it is what it is. And if the decisions that you make, if it doesn't work, then we got to go in a different direction. If they do work, well, hey, listen, we're all men in this room and, you know, obviously want to see this car do well. So, you know, obviously couldn't ask for more than what the weekend went. Well, I could ask for a little more. Could ask for the win against Robert. but hey, listen, we don't want to get greedy. It was a great first step for us to shake the team up a little bit. Obviously, a lot of good momentum going into 4-wide.
Well, Bob, I mean, you know, obviously, as you mentioned just a few minutes ago, that the 4-wide Nationals are coming up, man. And I know you did very well at that last year, and I know that's got to be psyching you up just a little bit, too.
Yeah, you know, it's an extraordinary race. I mean, both as a driver, as a fan, it's unlike anything you've ever seen before in your life. 32,000 horsepower, hitting the throttle at the same time. You know, from a driver's standpoint, there's some differences in staging. Obviously, you're waiting on three people to stage versus one. But once you hit the gas, it's not much different. I mean, obviously, we need to get the car A to B, whether we're 2-wide or 8-wide. So that part of it doesn't change much, but it's exciting. It's in our backyard. It's where our race shop is. We got a lot of friends coming out. We got Trevor Bayne coming out, the Wood Brothers. I've even invited Carl Edwards. I sent him a note. I said, "Hey, Carl, I think they run on Saturday, so a lot of the NASCAR boys might be in town on Sunday." So it's always great to drag race here in NASCAR country.
Wow. You know, you said it's not much different, but I got to ask you, you know, everybody was wondering, is there anything different, say, for example, you're in the middle of two lanes and you've got cars on each side of you. What did it take to get used to that, or did that even bother you at all?
No, it doesn't bother you at all because you don't even know the cars on the other side. The only person you can see is the person to your right or left. You can't see the person on the other side of the wall. It's too difficult to see with the relative to where you're sitting and how high that end wall is. However, what is different is on Sunday, as a driver, you got to get the car to the finish line. Now, if you see the person to your right or left and they're going through the lights, well, the show's over. It ain't no, you can stop pedaling because you ain't going to win that race. However, in 4-wide, because even though the guy to your right or left might be going through the finish line, you know, the two cars advance from the session until the final round, obviously. So you have to get the car to the finish line. So that is a different perspective, and you got to almost reprogram your brain because, you know, you're just programmed to step off the throttle when the race is over if you're in trouble, obviously. Whereas in the 4-wide, you got to get that thing to the finish line unless it's upside down or on fire. And even if it's on fire, as long as it's not that hot, you got to get that thing to the finish line because you have no idea what's going on in the other two lanes.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, you touched on it a little bit, and I just brought up something I guess I never really realized or didn't pay attention to in the past, but when you do the 4-wide racing like that,
Does it go by speed, or you know, when you're going through the qualifications and all that, who gets lane choice?
Yes, yeah, it goes by ET. So the quickest car of the prior session, or obviously the quickest car in qualifying, gets first choice, second, third, fourth. So it goes down the ladder from there, but it's set off of ET, and then obviously if ET is the same, it'll go to speed.
Well, let me ask you this, Bob, if you don't mind me asking. How do you feel the season's been going so far overall in the funny car division so far?
Well, I mean, hey, listen. One, we're glad to be part of the Ford Racing bandwagon. I mean, you know, you got every win this year is by a Ford. You've had all Ford finals at three of the four races. So it's great to be a part of that program with our performance in Vegas. I said going into the season, it's going to be the most competitive funny car season in the history of the sport. And I say that because there's over 16 touring cars, all more than capable of making the top 10. And then once you make the top 10, anyone in the top 10 can win the championship. So with all of that, you know, kind of going on this season, it was real important to us to come out strong and make a statement early. Unfortunately, we've done it in qualifying. We've qualified extremely well at every race. Unfortunately, the first three races, we went out in the first round for a variety of reasons. I mean, you know, we would have outrun most of the cars we lost to, but we lost to the cars that we raced, and that's the bottom line. So we shook things up going into Vegas, bringing Dickie in, two-time world champion crew chief, working with our brain trust, and it paid big dividends. We went from 11th in the points to 6th. We're 9 points out of 5th and only a few rounds out of 4th. So big move in the points for us in Vegas. I think we've kind of asserted ourselves coming out of that race as a team to keep your eye on. And we got to just keep the momentum going here in Charlotte.
Okay, Bob Tasker, I'm going to ask you this too. You know, since you're elaborating on it that way, to this point this year compared to this point last year, where do you feel you were? Do you feel you made big leaps or were you kind
big,
of the same?
Big, giant leaps. Giant leaps and bounds. This time last year, I couldn't sleep at night. I mean, the car just wasn't where it needed to be, wasn't qualifying well. I think we went a few more rounds to this point, but we didn't have a final round, that's for sure. So car's leaps and bounds. It's the fastest and quickest car I've ever driven. We've qualified better than I ever have in the first four races of the year at any point in my career. Unfortunately, the first three races, we just bobbled the ball on Sunday. But we got a fast hot rod. This Motorcraft Quick Lane team is very confident. You're probably hearing my voice, even more confident now, knowing that the shakeup that I made actually is going to work, and I believe that it has and will. And we got a championship caliber team. I'll tell you this, okay? The 15-time world champion, John Foss, comes up to me in Vegas, stops in the scooter when I'm getting out of the car, and knew I was disappointed. And he looked me in the eye and said, kid, let me tell you something. Way you're driving, way your team's working, and now with Dickie, working with your guys, you have the ability right now this year to win a championship. And he's never told me that before. And John's not a guy of, you know, just blowing smoke. So that gave me a lot of confidence, and I think it speaks volumes when a world champion, you know, owner and driver comes up to you and says that.
Well, I got to ask you, are we talking about the same John Force that we both know? About
same guy.
I know,
same
I did
guy.
Listen.
John Smoke blows smoke up somebody's butt. Heck no.
No. Well, first of all, he will, but not in those circumstances.
No,
in those circumstances,
agree.
That guy is laser focused, and you know, he means what he says.
Oh, I agree with you. I just had to give you a hard time. But,
oh, yeah.
I got to tell you, Bob, man, we've been saying all along, you know, since we've been talking to you a lot, and we've been watching even before you've been coming on the show, but you can definitely hear and see the confidence in you, and you know we've always said, you know, you're a guy to be watching out for, and I just hope you can you know, continued success this year, and hopefully, obviously, we'll get to talk to you some more this year as well.
No, absolutely. Hey, great to be on the show with you guys. Obviously excited about the weekend, and stay tuned. You're going to see some great things from this Motorcraft Quick Lane Ford Funny Car.
Yeah, we're waiting, buddy. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
All right,
bye-bye.
Thanks. All right. Bob Tasker III, listening to Speed Talk.
Miners trust the makers of Peak Antifreeze to protect their 600-ton ore haulers from extreme conditions. You can trust Peak Antifreeze's unique formula to help protect your engine from costly repairs. Peak Antifreeze. Protect your ride, no matter what you drive.
Peak Antifreeze. When you peak, you win.
Hi, this is Elizabeth. I'm listening to Speed Talk with my daddy Pete and with my uncle Cliff.
All right, back with a good friend of ours, Roger Curtis from Michigan International Speedway. Had a lot of good things going on in his track this last week with some tire testing. Roger, welcome on, buddy.
Hey, it's been a long time. I haven't felt the love.
You've got as much love with us as any adopted kid, okay?
Well, not only that, you know, the phone works both ways there, brother.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Yeah, now I'm going to get a nasty email from Sammy. Why did you tell Roger he needs to call you more often?
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm going to go find out who my real parents are now.
Well, with that being said, we saw a nice video by Kyle Bush. Oh, no, we won't go into that. Talk about the tire testing going on, man. You hit some pretty high mile per hour there, bud.
Wow, yeah, I was shocked. I knew the computer model showed we were going to be a little bit faster, but it was faster than I ever thought. And they got up to... The fastest they got up to on a softer compound of Goodyear tire that they will not be bringing back to the races this year, but the fastest they got up to was about 221 going into turn one. Now, the tire that it looks like Goodyear is going to bring back, a little bit harder, a little more durable, should make for some great racing, but still going into turn one was at 215. And the cornering speeds around them was around 175, 177. And in talking with all the drivers, especially Jeff Gordon, he thought that in qualifying trim, we would officially become NASCAR's fastest track with a qualifying average well over 200 miles an hour.
Roger, is Goodyear going to make a special compound for Michigan, or is this something that they've used somewhere else that just works really well at your place?
You know, that's a great question. I know they brought between 6 and 8 different compounds and or sidewall construction on those different rubber compounds. So it's something that pre-exists, but I honestly cannot tell you where else they have ran it before, or if they have, if it's just something that they've had in their back pocket for a newly paved high-speed track that they haven't brought out yet. But it's definitely they had a potpourri, if you will, of tires, and they had all the drivers go out on the different compounds at different times of the day. And it is, you know, they talk about the drivers that come to test get a special advantage, and I can guarantee you they might get a little bit, but Goodyear works their tail off testing those tires, not necessarily setups on the car.
Do they, when Goodyear runs a tire test like that, do they take all the tires back to Akron and analyze them all after they're all done?
Yeah, they it's amazing how much equipment that they have that they bolt onto the car, right onto the tire, that they can get different measurements throughout. I mean, especially as they go through the corners and the G-force and, you know, the shape of the tire actually changing on the right, particularly the right side tires. As they go through those corners at such high speeds, and they can measure those things and see what's going on. They did that a lot on the first day, just kind of taking a look at the compound and what was going to hold up to those speeds. And then the second day, they did long runs, you know, 20, 30 laps. Not quite a whole fuel run, but definitely longer runs so they could see how things were going to go at MIS on a long run this summer. So, very interesting to watch. I had never been privy to a tire test, and I thought it was absolutely fascinating. And I guess the best thing of all, because the speeds to me are great, and I love it. But Jeff Gordon and I were talking, and I said, you know, you guys can go 300 miles an hour, and if there was no passing, that's not really going to matter. So the thing that made me the happiest wasn't the speed. It was the fact that every single driver said that we have two grooves already, for sure, which is very rare for a newly paved track. And they felt very comfortable that going into probably Saturday's race in June for the nationwide race, said we'd have at least three lanes. So we'd have the two, three, maybe even four wide down the front stretch racing that we're used to.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, is NASCAR thinking about restrictor plate racing at your track at any point, or are they looking to make any changes on the car itself?
No, so after I talked with Brett Bodine and Robin Pemberton, actually just Monday, as recently as Monday this week, I asked them what their thoughts were on that, because there's been a lot of rumors going around, and I know a couple of the drivers, when they were doing the 220, 221, the drivers were getting a little concerned. Why 5 or 6 mile an hour difference doesn't matter? They weren't concerned at 215 and they were at 221. I don't know, but whatever. It's not me in the car with flying in there at that speed. But talking with NASCAR, they said absolutely not. No plates for the foreseeable future. That doesn't mean, I think they left open, you know, 2013 or on down the road if something were to change. But the reality is this, too, guys. It's going to be a lot warmer when they come back in the summer. I mean, we had a beautiful week last week, no doubt, but the track temperature is going to be 30 to 40 degrees warmer. That's going to take a couple of miles an hour off for sure, especially in the turns. And I want to say this for listeners who are freaking out, either pro or con, about the plate racing, if it ever were to come to MIS, and I don't think that it is. It's definitely not this year. But in talking with NASCAR and with all the drivers, the plate racing would be very different than what you see at Daytona and Talladega.
Sure.
Because our banking, only being 18 degrees, they would still never go flat out around the entire racetrack. So you would not have the pack racing like you see at Daytona and Talladega.
So are you using any of this hoopla that's going along with the extra speed and all that in the advertising and whatnot to draw people there? It's like Michigan International Speedway, a faster race or something like that. Have you guys, are you using that to your advantage?
Well, yeah, we are. I mean, we feel pretty confident saying that we're going to become NASCAR's fastest track this summer. You know, Atlanta previously had that distinction. I think Texas was there for a while. 197, I think, at Atlanta, 196 maybe at Texas. Michigan was not far behind. Ryan Newman has a pole record speed of 194 here from, I think it was, oh, forgive me, early 2000s, 2004 or 5, somewhere in there maybe. But clearly, even with the warmer track temperatures in June and August, we're going to see well over 194, and I have a feeling Jeff Gordon's right, and it's going to be an average qualifying speed over 200.
Well, we talked about how excited you are about it, but from the point of view of marketing, how's that going to play out for you?
Well, I mean, people love speed, you know, and I go back to, you know, I told NASCAR, and I would talk to the drivers extensively about that second and ultimately third lane coming in. I said, I don't really care about the speed. Speed will sell tickets, but number of passes, a lot of lead changes, exciting racing is what will renew tickets. And we were very blessed with a couple of great races last year. And I think people also understand, you know, a two-mile high-speed oval like we were even before, the speeds that we're seeing now, it's not going to be always, every single year, side-by-side photo finish. Now, I say that, and Brad Keselowski is on record publicly as saying the draft will come into play in the Nationwide Series race, the Alliance Truck Parts 250 this June. And he says, in his humble opinion, he thinks it may be the best NASCAR race of all three series of the entire year at any track.
Wow. I would guess you'd say that was pretty bold. So you think it – I'm sorry? Oh, I apologize. So you think it'll come into play there, but not on the actual Sprint Cup circuit?
Yeah, because the front ends of the Nationwide cars are so different. You know, they've gone ahead last year and introduced the new front ends there for the different manufacturers, much like you're going to see in 2013 for the Cup cars. So Brad was looking back at the race at Auto Club, the Nationwide race there a few weeks ago, which was fantastic race, and a lot of different lead changes and some very, very close racing, not just for the lead, but throughout the entire pack. And 2 mile high speed oval, even though it's not a restrictor plate, the way those new front ends are working on those Nationwide cars, it does lend to some drafting, particularly down the back stretch, but even a little bit the front stretch. And so Brad's point was, here you've got guys that are going to go way up top with this new asphalt, and the car's going to stick up top because we've got the variable banking, and they're going to get a run down the back stretch, and you may see a different leader every lap in the Nationwide race or close to it. So he was pretty enthusiastic. That was his take on it, not mine as a promoter. I hope he's correct. So we'll see.
All right, Roger. I know you're a busy guy, and unfortunately our time's coming up too. But you and I were on a guest show or a guest on another talk show. And I had asked you then about who was replacing your jet dryer, and you said that you were going to find out that week. And any word?
No. No, we got some money coming. I don't know where it's coming from. Maybe it's our tax refund or something. I don't know, but we do have some money coming. It is going to get replaced, and in fact, for anyone who's interested, it still is in Daytona. Hopefully it's going to make its way to the Hall of Fame down in Charlotte, the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Or if not, the Henry Ford Museum up here in Detroit is actually interested in it. Now that they've got Trevor Bayne's Daytona 500 winning car, we said maybe a jet dryer from Daytona would be a nice bookend. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully by June I'll be able to answer all your questions regarding who's paying for the jet dryer.
Well, all right, before we let you go, also one other question. You always do something really nice for the fans a couple weeks out. Do you got a lead on which driver you're going to bring to the Michigan area to help promote the June race?
Ryan Newman will be here for sure. Maybe some others, but Ryan's definitely going to be doing some stuff and details to follow on that. And I know he's going to be hanging out with some fans in advance. But we've actually got a lot of stuff planned on the race weekend as well. Our fan appreciation program will be in its fourth year, and giving away all kinds of great experiences to our fans. Plus, we just announced this week that Big and Rich will be doing a free concert for all of our fans Saturday night after the Nationwide Series race, so be sure and check that out. That's a really huge concert. That's a $30 ticket. You get what Brad Keselowski says may be the best race of the year, and a Big and Rich concert, so well worth the trip up to Michigan, I think.
We're definitely going to be there for that, Roger. As always, it's been great, man, and we'll definitely be talking to you as we get closer.
Well, let them tell
them
how to get tickets.
Me back.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we forgot to. Hey, Roger, let them know how they can get tickets if they're interested.
Well, yes. I mean, thank you for being a better promoter than I am. 1-800-354-1010 and mispeedway.com. And I'm on Twitter now.
Uh-oh.
You can follow me there, MIS Roger.
Sweet. Well, Roger, as always, thanks, man. We'll be talking to you, brother.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
All right. All right. Roger Curtis, Michigan International Speedway, listening to
Speed Talk.
I'm Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway and a fellow race fan. There's only so much time and money to do the things you really love in life. That's why we're making sure your time at the track this summer is better than ever. MIS is dedicated to delivering exciting NASCAR racing and a great escape with friends and family. You've earned your fun this summer, and MIS is committed to making sure you get it. We'll see you at the track. Michigan International Speedway, it's your speed.
Hi, this is Travis Geisler, crew chief for Sam Hornish Jr. and the Mobile One Dodge, and you're listening to Speed Talk with Pete and Cliff.
Welcome back. Got Pete LaFuchsia, Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner here, and it is time for our predictions. And yes, it's a crazy show, but we're going to do it fast. All right, last week was off, so we didn't have nothing to talk about. But Kenny and I did tie the week before, and I'm still barely
And I'm ahead. Reigning champ for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Rub it in.
Cliff and I are looking at each other like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah. It's still season. It's early. I mean, we're only at, what, number six for NASCAR and so on and so
Something
on.
Something like that. But we're...
All right, we got to...
Flip up the picks on your magic screen there, loser. We'll see who you got.
All right, here
well,
we
we're
go.
On week nine of predictions. So.
Well, okay. It's a 36-week season plus. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but also remember that was the duels and the... We
well,
also did
yeah.
the... Yeah, anyway... All right.
Well, but then we picked the NHRA a week before the NASCAR started. So,
Sprint Car Texas, Pete?
I'm the winner. I get to say it last. You guys go first.
No, you didn't win last week. You were last.
We didn't have winners last
week. The week before.
Yeah, I was the winner. Right there, week 9, see? Pete had an average finish of 3.75.
All right, Kenny, does it matter?
Not to me. I'll
yes,
pick
it does.
All right, I'm picking Jeff Gordon. This
and
is
I'm going Tony Stewart.
Well, yeah, that's a decent pick, but you sure you're locked in now? You know,
yes, I am.
We
were,
waffling.
I just said it.
We went on.
Oh, I was super waffling.
Camping World Truck Series Rockingham, Kenny.
Ron Hornaday.
Ty Dillon wins his first.
James Buescher is the winner.
Funny Car in Charlotte 4 wide, and Kenny's going.
Force Racing continues their hot streak with Robert Height again.
All right, I'm going to go with our buddy Tasca, the third. He's coming.
Force Racing is going to win, but it's going to be Mike Neff.
All right, Top Fuel, Kenny.
Spencer Massey.
I'm going Schumacher, man. He's breaking it.
And I'm down with the Brown.
All right, IRL, the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach.
The guy with a really good-looking
Franchitti.
Actress wife. Yeah,
Franchitti.
That's a Dario Franchini.
Keedy.
Yeah, whatever. The red
He's
car.
Married to the chick from Kentucky.
Well, Power wins two in a row.
No, he doesn't. It's going to be Rubens Barrichello. Is that how it's pronounced?
Barrichello.
You can't even pronounce it. How can you pick it?
Why do you think I had to type? Notice I got everybody else's last name. I had to put his full name.
And quickly, the last one, we're going to go with F1 in a Chinese Grand Prix. And Kenny?
Well,
Vettel.
I was, you know, I usually stay with Vettel, too, because he is a safe bet. But I'm going to go with Alonso myself.
And Vettel's teammate Weber is the one who wins, in my opinion.
All right, there you have it.
Hello, this is Brandon Creasu, American rider at the Isle of Man TV. You're listening to Speed Talk with Cliff and Pete.
We're now joined by Scott Smith, the Senior Communications Coordinator for Lucas Oil and the NHRA. Scott, thanks for joining us. Wow.
It's good to talk to you guys this year.
We haven't had you on this year?
I don't think so.
Oh, come on. We had you.
I thought we had you on at the beginning of the NHRA season.
Well, you might have. I slept since then. How about that?
Now you got me worried. I'm like, we take care of our buddies,
no,
man.
No, we did it for the Gator Nationals, I believe.
No, that was 2 years ago.
Right.
No,
yeah.
But anyway, well, Scott, you got some stuff coming up at Lucas Oil. You know, what's going on down there?
Well, it's going to be another great season. We've had one event so far. We had one of our street legal tests and tunes and a slick tire test for a lot of our local racers. And that was all, you know, with the great weather we've had in central Indiana. It was a great way to let everybody get out there. And, you know, all the parts and pieces that they bolted onto their cars during the course of the winter, get out there, get a hit on the track. So the season has started, and definitely looking forward to a lot of great things.
Well, obviously you've lost. You know, we talked about it last year. You've lost some of the NASCAR stuff, but you got all kinds of stuff going on down there.
Oh yeah, very much so, and it kind of comes and goes. And well, that was, you know, we're still, you know, disappointed about what happened with those events. You know, the oval schedule is still great with. The midgets come in the night before the 500. You know, it's always one that, you know, like you talk to Cody and Tanner Swanson and all these midget guys that live here locally. You know, that's one they definitely want to win. And then as far as Speedfest, that's still going to be a great night. Two nights of racing. We're going to have midgets and Silver Crown on Thursday. And then on Friday will be the ARCA series and CRA. So they're going to, you know, the ARCA series, those guys put on a great show last year. They are a great addition to the schedule and are ready to come back bigger than better than ever this year. So it'll be a fun two nights of racing in Indiana.
Well, you know, Scott, we've always talked a lot to you about many different things, but something just dawned on me when you said all that. How do you find time to work with and promote Lucas Oil and at the same time work so big with NHRA? How do you do that, man?
Well, it's definitely a balancing act, and a lot of my NHRA, you know, Lucas full throttle responsibilities is when, you know, the off season and when things aren't as busy, you know, during the course of the season, but, you know, making sure that, you know, that each side gets represented. I mean, Lucas Oil Raceway obviously is a pretty big and pretty historic facility, and then with the full throttle series and NHRA drag racing, you know, that is obviously a busy schedule and one that, you know, definitely races across the country and keeps a lot of people busy and a lot of people entertained during the course of the summer.
So when do we get ready for the big one coming up in Labor, when Labor Day weekend? When do you start that?
We started that probably about a day after the one ended last year. Or even during, actually, probably. It's always, there's so much planning and forethought, and we're working on an event that's going to take place on Monument Circle, kind of a rebirth of the Fan Fest experience that used to take place on Monument Circle the past couple of years ago in downtown Indianapolis. We're working on that. With the inclusion of the Traxxas Nitro Shootout, which will be the top funny car and top fuel drivers battling out for a huge purse back at the U.S. Nationals, you know, like a separate race within a race. So getting all of that put together and all the planning and everything put together, it's a year-long day-to-day process.
Well, you know, let's talk a little about the NHRA a little bit, you know, since you do, you know, wear 17 hats for them. But, you know, we talked to Bob Task a little bit earlier, talking about the four-wide racing going on at Charlotte. I mean, it's a huge event, but talk about that a little bit. I mean, how is it any different getting prepared for that than it is any other race?
I think it's probably a yes and a no type situation. I mean, yes, it's a little bit different, but... you know, the NHRA has gone to great lengths to make sure that, you know, everything is, you know, as, trying to make it as normal for the drivers. Our drivers, probably more than a lot of others, are very much, you know, creatures of habit, and the crew chiefs especially want to make sure that a driver is doing the same thing each time they do the burnout, when they back up, when they get to stage the car, and when they launch. And you know, the NHRA, you know, done a lot to make sure that it's all the same, but I don't think you can ever replicate having, you know, four funny cars, four top fuelers all lined up next to each other, you know, getting ready to go, all that horsepower, all that noise, all that, you know, excitement and energy getting ready to go down the track. The four wides are definitely something that's on the bucket list of many drag racing fans.
A quick question here, you know, bringing up to that. Are you happy with where the NHRA is so far this year compared to last year?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a great season so far. I think we've seen a lot of, you know, good competition and great battles. And in funny car, I mean, yeah, Robert Heights won the past three races. But you'll see over the course of the season that teams, you know, and it's the same in all racing, teams just get on a hot streak. And, you know, his success right now in no means guarantees that he's going to be a champion in Pomona in November. And, you know, to see what he's been able to do, top fuel has been great. Morgan Lucas, I mean, one of the guys, and this isn't a Lucas Oil thing, but Morgan having such a kind of a rebirth right now with an event win and great qualifying. And that team's kind of been through a lot the past couple of years. Has been really neat to see, and Morgan's, you know, just such a laid back guy and so easy going, but that smile, I mean, you see him on a Thursday at the track when he's just getting ready, and that he can't get that smile off his face. So that's been really neat to see so far this year.
All right, Scott, I appreciate you joining us, and I know we're all on time constraints here, but real quick, with about a minute left, tell the folks how they can go to Lucas Oil and you know, see all the good events coming up and obviously get ready for the Nationals coming up there in Labor Day.
Yeah, definitely. LucasOilRaceway.com is our main, the track webpage, and that's got, you know, all the race updates and all the news and notes and everything that was going on. We've also got a Facebook page, Lucas Oil Raceway, and obviously on Twitter as well, at Lucas Oil Raceway. And, you know, those are all, you know, three great ways to get the word out and get everything going. And NHRA.com for all the NHRA action. And our NHRA Facebook page is really big with, you know, giving good behind-the-scenes information and sneak peeks in these drivers' lives. So, all those social media aspects are a great way to get the word out.
Scott Smith, appreciate you joining us again, buddy. And as always, we'll be talking to you much more as the year goes along.
Good to talk to you guys as well.
All right, thanks, Scott. Appreciate it, buddy.
Great.
All right, Scott Smith from the NHRA and / Lucas Oil
Raceway.
Raceway Park.
I keep forgetting
about the park.
Get rid
He's
of the park.
Kill me what
hey, you're forgiven, Cliff. We're old, man.
Speed Talk.
In ancient times, hordes of people gathered to watch gladiators battle to achieve victory and honor. Some things never change. See the toughest competitors of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series do battle at Kansas Speedway. Tickets for the STP 400 on April 22nd start at $59, and we have more seats for $99 or less than ever before. Bring your own cooler, and parking is free. For tickets, call 866-460-RACE or visit kansasspeedway.com.
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
Been like this for weeks.
You just need a new battery.
That should do it.
That did it!
Bring it in and we'll bring it to life.
You need anything else? Okay.
Find every battery for every need. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Need a battery? Visit your local Interstate All Battery Center today.
Yeah, listen up, junkies. This is Jesse James Dupree from Jackal and the reality show Full Throttle Saloon. You dialed right smack dab on top of Speed Talk with Cliff and Pete. Ha! Been too some, but come on.
Welcome back. Got Pete LaFuchsia, Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner coming at you. Wow, what a show that turned out to be.
We take a week off and we get overloaded.
Well, you know, that's what happens because usually when you take a week off, no matter where it is, every racing circuit at the same time besides the race.
And is it also the point that none of us really want to do a webisode tonight because we're tired, so we packed it all in? Well, normally we would have thrown one of them on there. Or whatever we're calling the webisode. Or
that will be changing. Be stay tuned, folks.
Apparently somebody owns the copyright on that.
Yeah, we got some announcements coming up.
Radio Speed Talk Plus or something.
Yeah.
Sounds like a pregnancy test thing.
All right, but anyway, we're missing our most important thing going on here. It is now Pete's favorite time of the show. It is
Speed Talk Junkie. Speed Talk Junkie. Speed Talk Junkie.
Can you do that without dancing?
Of the week.
Wow. That's it. We got to get it.
Come on, we got 2 minutes.
Hula dancer, it's out of control.
We
man.
Now have Davinia Davis has been added to our list. She's out of Marion, Indiana, and she listens to one of our affiliates.
Yeah, ESPN there, which is that one.
WMR
860.
I'm pointing at the picture.
Wow.
I'm going to have to get a picture of our little wall, especially after we add, because we're going to announce a new affiliate next week. Woohoo!
Which is good.
Yes, yeah. We are. Davinia,
we're still growing.
Davinia Davis, thanks for listening, and welcome to our Junkie Hall of Fame. All right. Again, I want to thank Bob Tasca III from the Funny Car Division of NHRA. Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway, came in and
Joey Chitwood's evil nemesis.
Oh, man, let's not do this anymore.
I'm going to have fun. That's almost like a cartoon thing.
Scott Smith, the communications director for Lucas Oil and NHRA.
Lucas Oil Raceway. I don't think he works for Lucas Oil.
I know. Well, it's the state of Indiana. They keep changing it, so we're just going to call it Lucas Oil Raceway then, okay? I apologize. Thanks to those guys. Thanks to our staff, man. I'm telling you, Tom Wolf, Josh Brewer, Rod Tanner, Ken Allen, Tim Vaughn, and, of course, ourselves. You can check us out on the internet, radiospeedtalk.com. Twitter us at radiospeedtalk2. Become our friend on Facebook. Type in keyword Speed Talk. And we're on iTunes, Speed Talk, a production of Laughing Cliff Media. Copyright, April 2012. All rights reserved. For Kenny Barr, my co-host and partner in crime, Pete LaFuchsia, I'm Cliff Tanner. Remember, it has an engine and goes fast. You'll hear about it on Speed Talk.
Jump. Later.
the balance. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. So glad that you guys could join us on a Saturday morning. Thanks to the guys over there at RadioSpeedTalk.com. Guys, you can hear their show every Friday night or Sunday afternoon here on the Balance Radio Network. And that was just a replay of this week's show out of RadioSpeedTalk.com. My name's Tom Marquis. Welcome, minions, to hour number two coming up. Mr. Evan Williams is going to sit here in my chair. It's a big responsibility. I understand that. But if anybody can handle it, he can handle it. And remember, minions, you need to be on your best behavior. Well, I know that the Cardinals blew an opportunity to beat the Cubs at home opener yesterday. And obviously, speaking of home openers, the Indianapolis Indians opened up out at Victory Field. Josh, $2 bill, Josh Elmore was down there covering that for IndyProSports.com and the Balance. Evan Williams, sitting in my chair here today, will be right back with you right after this break. And right after, I know we're in different locations, Evan, and I know you're on. So right after the break of the bumper music, we'll just go live to you since you can't see or hear my signals at the moment. Guys, this is The Balance. Welcome, minions. Hour number two coming up. Evan Williams, $2 bill, Josh. And Brian Jensen. Yep, the Three Stooges are on their way.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indy Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indy Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Evan Williams here, like Tom said before the break. Now I'll be doing my best to fill in for him today at the host, so bear with me if it's a little rough at times. I'll just kind of go with the flow and see where it goes from there. But from what I understand, Josh, are you on the line?
I'm here, Evan. Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. So how's life up in Purdue? Been treating you?
It's going good right now. Spring games today up at Rock State Stadium, so that should be a good time. From what I understand, you were at the Indianapolis Indians home opener last night, so why don't you talk about that a little bit?
It was a pretty good game. There was a crowd of about 9,000 people. Maybe would have been a bit more, but the Indiana Faces were at home last night, and they were always a big draw in Indianapolis. It was 1-1 going into the seventh inning when Toledo came up with a few big hits. I ended up having to leave for a family emergency last night, but the latest update I had, Toledo was up 3-1. So, Evan, why don't you take a few minutes and you tell us what's going on up at Ross State Stadium today? I know there's 7 quarterbacks on the Purdue roster, 8, something like that, and one of them, Sean Robinson, if I have that right, I hope I do, is making the move to an inside linebacker.
Yes, I mean, Purdue is loaded with quarterbacks this year. There's so many on the roster. It seems like they could throw out an entire offense of quarterbacks. But, yeah, Sean Robinson, he's a redshirt sophomore. He recently made the move to linebacker due to the, you know, logjam at quarterback. And he actually has experience on the defensive side of the ball. His first 2 years of high school, he actually played defense before switching over to quarterback. So I think he's going to really thrive there. You know, he's already a really big guy. He's probably 6'3", 215 pounds. So I really think, you know, once he really learns the position, gets everything down, learns the plays, learns the coverages, he could possibly have an impact next year on the field. So it'll be interesting to see about that.
So I know Purdue went, I want to say they went 6-6 in the regular season last year. They lost their bowl game, if I remember correctly, to Central Michigan. If you're looking ahead, who's going to leave spring camp as the starting quarterback? Is it wide open? Does Marv have the job locked down? How close is Coach Hope holding his cards? Has he given any indication who this guy yet?
Well, Josh, you're right. Purdue went 6-6 in the regular season, but they won their bowl game against Western Michigan. It was a good game. I was up there at Ford Field in Detroit. But right now, I'd say the favorite is probably Caleb Turbush, just because he's coming off being a starter last year. Started every game for the Boilers, and he did have a pretty good season as his first year as the starting quarterback. Coach Hope really hasn't tipped his hat on who's going to be the starter, because with all the competition, there's, you know, Robert Marv, and then Rob Henry's coming back from injury. So he hasn't really told who's really going to be a starter as of now. Competition is still there. I think right now you'd have to say that Turbush is probably the favorite to start, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see Marv or Rob Henry, you know, get the starting nod at the beginning of the season. It's going to be really interesting to see come training camp in the summer to see who emerges as the number one guy.
I was up at Ross State Stadium quite a few times last year, and one thing I've noticed, or at least it seemed like was going on, and I'm curious, did last year's record change? Seemed like last year, though, and I've had a chance to speak with Coach Hope a few times, never really on a personal level. I'm sure you've got to know quite a bit better than me and Tom have. He seems like a really nice, solid Christian fundamental, a guy you'd want to go have a beer with. Why is it seems Boiler Nation is holding a weekly rally to see how fast they can get Danny Hope fired? And do you think last season put that to bed, or do you just think he's a coach Boiler Nation can't fall in love with?
I think it's just a combination of things. You know, there's before really, you know, winning the bowl game, there really wasn't any success under Coach Hope. Struggled a lot of times bringing in recruits, winning games that they should win. You know, last season we saw Purdue drop a game to Rice, which they should have won. Previous year they dropped a game to Toledo that they should have won. I mean, it was a lot of things leading up to that. But I think after, you know, Purdue kind of came on last year towards the end, they got some nice wins, you know. I know the year before, losing to IU at Ross-Ade for the old Oaken Bucket, that really ticked a lot of people off. But then getting the win at IU this year, you know, going to the bowl game, winning, I think people are turning in the right way. And he brought in a pretty good recruiting class, you know, one of the better recruiting classes in the Big Ten this year. So I think people's opinions on Hope will start to change. I'm really looking forward to this football season because I really think Purdue can take that next step and really move on up in the Big Ten.
So, Evan, if we could, take 5 minutes or however long you want. I know you're I read your blog all the time. I actually wish you would write for the Lafayette Journal and Courier instead of the joke they have covering the Boilermaker for that newspaper. But that's a different topic for a different day. Signing day was Wednesday for the basketball team. And I know up in August that Coach Painter's taking the Boilermakers over to, I want to say, Italy. And everybody in the state of Indiana, all you've heard all year long, and I'm sure as a Purdue student and a Purdue fan, you're now hearing how IU could go undefeated next year in college basketball, how they're already number one in the preseason poll, how they have the best class. Why don't you take 3, 4, 5 minutes, however long you want, and tell us about Purdue, because they're also an Indiana team.
Next year's Purdue basketball team is going to look a lot different compared to past teams, mostly due to the loss of Robbie Hummel, Lewis Jackson, and Ryan Smith. But Smith will still be on the staff, as Coach Painter recently announced. He'll be joining the team as a student assistant coach, which I think will be a great move for the Boilers. But Purdue brings in a pretty solid recruiting class next year. You know, it's a consensus top 20 class by all the major scouting services. You know, we're headlined by big man center A.J. Hammonds out of Oak Hill Academy, big seven-footer, top 100 four-star prospect. He's really going to have an impact next year. I wouldn't be surprised if he can earn a starting spot from day one. Also, point guard Ronnie Johnson out of Indianapolis North Central, another top 100 four-star guy, who's the younger brother of current Boiler Tyrone Johnson. With the graduation of Lewis Jackson, I really think that he could step in from day one and earn a starting spot at the point guard position. Other recruits, we have Raphael Davis, another top 100 four-star guy, big 6'5", tough, shooting guard, small forward combo type of player, really likes to attack the basket. I've seen him play a couple times in person, and I really think he's going to surprise a lot of people next year. And then another big guy, 6'9", forward, Jay Simpson. He's just outside the top 100 or right at the 100 mark on most scouting services, but a guy I've seen also play in person. I really think he can have an impact next year if, you know, he works on his conditioning and, you know, works on just playing tough. But with the recruits bringing in, there's also some very talented players that return for Purdue. DJ Bird, who really had a good season this past year, coming off the bench for Purdue. He's the lone senior who's really had a lot of playing experience. He's going to be instrumental to Purdue's success next year. He's a guy who I really think will step it up in the opportunity to show his leadership as one of the lone seniors. But he's a guy who will be starting next year. And then junior Tyrone Johnson, he really had some struggles at the beginning of the year. Most notably, his free throws were horrendous. But he really turned it on at the end of the year. He was scoring at will. He was one of Purdue's leading scorers in most games towards the end of the season. Really played great in the tournament. I really think next year is going to be his year to really step it up and show that he can be an elite player in the Big Ten. And some other guys, I think Anthony Johnson, he'll be a sophomore next year. If he really works on his three-point shot, I think he could be lethal. He could be the next big three-point shooter for Purdue, kind of take the role of Ryan Smith. And it'll be an interesting year. The Big Ten is going to be very talented next year. There's going to be a lot of teams that I think can make the tournament. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if 7 or 8 teams make the tournament. The loss of Robbie Hummel can't be understated. That's going to hit hard. And I think we'll see early on some struggles because of the lack of the leadership that Hummel put to the floor and, you know, his talent overall. But I think this is a Purdue team you can't give up on, and this isn't a team that I think people should count out. I think there's a lot of talent coming in with the recruits. I think there's a lot of talented returning. And I think there's a lot of guys we haven't seen who will step up in the absence of guys like Hummel and Jackson Smith. So I'm really looking forward to this basketball season. I think it'll be a lot of fun to see how these players develop and how they come together.
And then there's a player, I can't think of his name right now. Is he coming to Purdue yet, or is he going to be a senior at Fort Wayne Northwood next year? I want to say his name is Bryson something or other. I apologize. I probably have his name wrong, but.
Bryson Scott. He'll be a senior next year at Northrop, but yeah, very talented player.
So do you think, and I know as a Purdue guy, you may not follow IU basketball as closely, what do you think of the fact that ESPN, CBS, Yahoo, Sports Illustrated, Sporting News, I've already deemed IU next year's national champion. And in fact, ESPN, I was reading an insider article, is debating whether or not IU can go undefeated next year. Do you think IU deserves the hype, or do you think they're getting way too much credit way too soon?
Well, I definitely think IU could possibly go undefeated, and I definitely think they're going to be a top five team for sure. I mean, everyone, there's really no excuses on why next year's IU team shouldn't be anything but the top team in the Big Ten. You know, they return everyone. You know, Verdell Jones, that's a loss, but, you know, I think everyone will get over that. IU really doesn't have any excuses. They have the talent. They have the experience. It's just going to come down if they can win all the games. I mean, there still needs to be a lot of improvements on the road, obviously. They got some wins. You know, they beat Purdue on the road. They beat a couple other teams, but they still struggled against, you know, really the top-tier teams in the Big Ten on the road. So if they want to take that next step to be a consensus top-five team, they're going to have to win on the road, and that's what it comes down to. They've got all the talent in the world. They're bringing in a great top-10 recruiting class, lots of talent. That's my take on it. I there's really no excuse on why IU shouldn't be, you know, a top-five, maybe the top team next year.
I would have to agree with that assessment. Now, the only thing that kind of concerns me, and as an IU fan, I'm kind of happy to have this fun, but on the other hand, it could be bad. This year, Christian Wofford started. Jordy Hall started. Bo Shiki started. Next year, it's possible those three players might struggle to get off the bench at all, let alone start. I'd almost guarantee Tanner Perea takes Wofford's spot. I want to be shocked to see Jeremy Howell take Will Sheehy's spot. And I don't think anybody in the country would argue that Jordy Hall should start over Yogi Ferrell. What do you think it's going to take for Coach Crane to keep all this talent from blowing up and having a huge mess? Because it's possible three of the five starters, if not all five of the starters, with the exception of Cody Zeller, could be new, and some of the starters may not get off the bench next year.
That's going to be a really tough job for Coach Crane when there's so much talent, so many returning guys. I mean, you have the obvious starter, Zeller. No one's taking his spot. He'll be there. As far as Wofford goes, I think Wofford stays in the starting lineup. I think he really proved this past season that he deserves it. And as a senior, I think there does need to be some senior leadership out there. As far as Perea goes, he's a great player, and I've seen him play a couple times, but he's still really raw offensively. I think Watford's offensive game is miles ahead of Perea's, so I think Wofford will start over Perea. Hunter's definitely going to be a great guy off the bench, big energy guy. If you've seen any of his highlights, it's consist of highlight reel dunking. So he'll definitely be a guy who will get a lot of time next year coming off the bench, you know, providing some defense, providing some highlight dunks. But I think Wofford will start over him. See, he's out of the starting lineup. He'll be a bench guy next year. I think Hollowell might not start at the beginning of the year, but I guess I think he could take this starting spot come midseason, come Big Ten time. And then when you come to the guards, it's really interesting. As far as point guard goes, it's Yogi Ferrell over Jordy Hulls any day. I mean, I know he's the hometown kid and he's a senior, but you just can't argue when you have a talent like Ferrell coming in as far as point guard goes. But I think Oladipo, too. I think Oladipo is going to also start. I think it'll be Ferrell and Oladipo at the guards with Hulls coming off the bench. Oladipo really stepped up this past season. He really played a great, great season. He's a great defender, spark offensively, energy guy. I think he'll earn his starting spot, too. So I think I'm going to go with the starting lineup with Ferrell, Oladipo, Sheehy or Hollowell, Wofford, and Zeller.
And another team that's up at Purdue that's doing phenomenal, and nobody's talking about him. The Stars covered him a little bit. And I'm kind of curious, because of the way the NCAA baseball tournament is set up, and I'm sure you maybe talked about this in your blog. I haven't been able to get online in a few days. Maybe you haven't covered it yet. Purdue's a really great team. They have the best baseball team in the Big Ten. But because of the way the Big Ten season ends, an NCAA tournament starts, Purdue's what, 27-5, 28-4 in baseball, something like that, and they could get shut out of the tournament. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the NCAA baseball. I really didn't follow it last year. I'm starting to follow it this year. A couple guys from my high school are actually on the team, so it's kind of sparked my interest in it. And I have been following them a little bit because of how well they're doing, and it's fun to read about how much success they've had. But, yeah, I know that it's a very good chance that Purdue could still have this great year and still not make the NCAA tournament. I'm not really too familiar with how everything's set up, but I remember last year Purdue had a last year and still didn't make the tournament. So I think if Purdue's just got to stay on top. I mean, if you're the number one team in the conference, I don't see how you cannot make it into the tournament. But it'll be interesting to see. I'm going to look up a little more on that because I would like to kind of figure it out, because I remember last year they had a good year and they still didn't make the tournament. So it'll be interesting to see.
Kind of basically, from what I remember, the NCAA tournament starts a week or two before the Big Ten baseball tournament. And because there's no Big Ten tournament champion by the time the NCAA tournament starts, NCAA is not required to take anybody out of the Big Ten. And if you think about it, you said you don't watch too much college baseball, but if you look in the top 25, all the schools in the top 25, I think every SEC school's in the top 25, if not every, then at least 9 or 10 of them. The others are from Florida and California. And NCAA is going to hit these big market powerhouse teams. Like, Rice is a power in baseball. They're a laughing joke in football and basketball, but because there's no Big Ten tournament champion, they're not required to take a Big Ten team, and usually don't. Well, have you seen the Arkansas story at all? Any thoughts on Petrino getting fired, essentially, regardless of what that Arkansas athletic director says at the end of the day? I applaud him for this. I'm curious to get your thoughts, and I'd like to get Tom's, but he can't join us. He essentially got fired for having an affair. Do you think a college coach should be allowed to be fired for something that happens on his own personal time?
Hey, this is a weird situation. I'm familiar with the situation. I don't know every detail about it. I think it was a good move by Arkansas, just because I think it all comes down to the image of your university, you know, how people look at you, what your reputation is. And I think, you know, what Petrino was doing is wrong, obviously. And, you know, I do think it was a good move in the end for his termination, just because I think how everyone perceives your school, your team, reflects a lot back on the coach. And if you're supporting, you know, Petrino and what he was doing, even though he was on his own free time, I think that looks badly on your school. So I don't know everything, but I do think it was a good move.
And, you know, with IU going, I think they went 0-12 last year in football. They may went 1-11. I think pretty much everybody in the state of Indiana, including Coach Kevin Wilson, assumes this is going to be his last year, unless somehow he works out a miracle and he makes it to a bowl game, because he went 1-11. He lost Gunnar Kiel. There's rumors that there are drug problems, attitude problems on this football program. Do you think IU would take, should, if they do make a change at the end of the year, should take a flyer on Bobby, on Petrino, just as a, well, if it works out bad, our football program's already awful, but by some miracle, if he can come to IU and win, do you think it'd be a good gamble for the Hoosiers, or should they avoid it like it's a toxic bomb or radioactive?
Yeah, sorry, I thought my phone might have cut out. But when if IU does release Wilson after this season and Petrino is open, I kind of got to agree with the thing that, you know, they're already in such a bad position. You know, why not take a chance on Petrino. I think that could, you know, possibly provide a spark, you know, and bringing in a former SEC coach to the school, you know, that might spark some interest from some possible recruits. I definitely think SEC coaches are all great recruiters. They bring in, you know, the top recruiting classes every year. If you look at all the rankings, it's all dominated by the SEC, especially in football. So I think if Wilson is released after this year, then maybe take a chance on Petrino, because I think it could, you know, maybe provide that necessary spark, you know, kind of get football moving back in the right direction for IU.
Are you, would you be willing to right now predict next year's BCS National Championship game in football, or do you think there's too many questions left to be answered?
Maybe once you get closer to the season, we'll kind of see, you know, who's really returned a lot, who's performing well. But I think right now it's too early.
And do we have, and I know we have a guest lined up at 10:30. I'm not exactly sure who the guest is at 10:30. Can you go ahead and share with me and everybody who's listening, who's going to be joining us at 10:30? Tom just told me we have a guest. I'm not exactly sure who it is.
I think at 10:30 we'll be joined by Colts superfan Brian Jensen to talk a little bit about the upcoming NFL draft.
So, Evan, I know you said you don't follow Purdue baseball too much. If I remember right, you're from, I want to say you're from Illinois, right? So are you a big Cubs fan, or at least you're from Northern Indiana?
I'm from Northwest Indiana, but I'm actually a Cardinals fan because of family ties in Missouri. I grew up rooting for the Cardinals.
So what's it like as a Cardinals fan? And I haven't got to ask Tom this question either. I'm going to go ahead and say it. A lot of baseball fans was probably going to get a lot of hate email from this, so I apologize, Tom. I think Pujols is the best baseball player to ever put on a pair of cleats, better than the Mick, better than the Babe, better than Gary, better than DiMaggio. What's it like to tune into a Cardinals game and at first base you no longer had the best player to ever play the game?
It's tough, and it's weird because, you know, ever since I can remember, you know, since I was, you know, 8, 9 years old, Pujols has been the guy at first base, or, well, not necessarily at first, but he's been on the Cardinals, so having him not on the team anymore, it's really different, and I
Would you agree he's the best of all time, or do you think that may be a bit higher price than he's actually earned at the moment?
As of right now, I don't think I can make a fair judgment. He's definitely the best player I've seen, obviously, in my 20 years of existence. I think he's definitely the best player that I've seen, and he could end up being the best player of all time. He's definitely got the talent to do that. But back to with Cardinals no longer having Pujols. At first, I was really, you know, I was really disappointed. I was upset. I was mad. You know, why didn't they give him a deal? But in the long run, I have to just realize that they probably know what's best for the team. And I'm a fan of the name on the front of the jersey, not the back. So I'm still a Cardinals fan. I'm always going to be a Cardinals fan, regardless of who's on the roster.
And there's a few minutes we have left before, well, actually about the 60 seconds we have left before Superfan joins us. Why don't you go ahead and take this opportunity, in case any Boilermaker fans listening, or anybody, any father, son, father, daughter, are listening and they're like, oh, but today's the spring game. How much is it? When is it? Where is it? Why don't you go ahead and share those details?
Spring game starts today at 1 o'clock Eastern time up at Ross State Stadium. And there's a lot of events going on all day up near the stadium, lots of family activities. And admission is free. So that's another big draw to the spring game. Starts at 1 p.m. Take the whole family up there, post-game autographs, halftime there will be alumni psych football game, and it should just be a really fun day. So head on up to Ross 8 if you got the time today.
Is there an admission to that, do you know?
Sorry, what did you say?
Is there a ticket price or an admission price? Or I know at IU you have to bring a can good to get in. How does admission work at the Purdue spring game?
Admission is completely free, so bring everyone.
Sounds like it should be a lot of fun up there at Ross State, and hopefully super fans either on the line or about to join us.
Guys, we're still waiting on Brian to join us. If you could, guys, I know you can't see me, and I apologize. I am multitasking here. What a great show, though. You guys are doing a great job. I have been listening in my ears, even though I haven't been at the board. So go ahead and talk for about 2 minutes. Evan, I'll cue you on the break, and hopefully we'll have Brian on the line.
I just have to ask, Evan, before you took over Tom's chair, he said it's a big job. I got to know, is it a big job or is it just a big chair? Because we call Tom El Presidente. If Tom's a little more like Bobby Bowden than maybe most people are. So is it a big job or is it a big chair? I'm just playing totally.
You know, it is kind of a big job. I didn't really know what to do at first to talk about, to you know, keep the audience going, but, you know, I think Tom's kind of a lot of talk. You know, I think a couple more times doing this, I could be better than him, maybe, you know, take over the title of El Presidente.
I believe we have our first ever call out for the host chair on the balance. I can't wait to hear Tom's response when he can rejoin us next Saturday morning, as he can join us every Saturday morning on the balance from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
All right, guys. I am back, and I'm back on the board. So, all right, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, Brian Jensen, Evan Williams, and Josh Elmore, the Three Stooges guys. And Evan, close the show out at 11 o'clock. I got faith in you.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
All right, we're back here on the balance after that short commercial break. Here with Josh, and we should be joined by Brian Jensen. Are you here, Brian?
Hey, what's going on today?
Pretty good. So we're here to talk some 2012 NFL draft. So, Brian, why don't you take it away and tell us a little bit about this draft.
Well, you know, everyone's – you hear all the media out there saying that we're going to – that – there's chances of RG3 going to Indianapolis Colts, and I really don't think that's going to happen. I think that's just, you know, get the media stirred up and everyone stirred up about that, and it's not gonna happen. I mean, we've had Andrew Luck in our sights, you know, since, you know, way back when it seems, and you know, when it comes down to draft day, I mean, if you know, we were to draft RG3 there, it would just be a total shock. I mean, honestly, we're going to draft Andrew Luck. I'm 99.9% positive we're going to get Luck. And, I mean, we need help in other areas, too. So, I mean, it's going to be really interesting that day what happens. And, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, where actually Ryan Tannehill goes, because I think he's going to be a decent quarterback, too. And my personal opinion, RG3 is going to be a flop, and he ain't going to know who he is in 5 years.
If I could agree with you, Super Colts fan, that's pretty smart. Now, I have an idea. Now, a lot of Colts fans aren't going to agree, and I work downtown, so Andrew Luck has been in Indianapolis most of the week. I don't know how the Colts have kept it under wraps. He's been saying it's a JW Marriott. He looks good. I was at Hooters last Saturday when Andrew Luck briefly stopped by. He looked really good. At least I was told he was there. I didn't actually get to see him. They had security. But what would you think of the Browns supposedly really like Andrew Luck? And I think Tannehill's just maybe one-tenth of a percentage point less potential than Andrew Luck. We trade down to the Browns pick. We demand that they give us their first two rounds, both their first-round pick and their second-round pick. We take Tannehill at 4. And then we use the second first-round pick to take a running back. Because as it currently exists, we have no wide receivers. We have a rookie quarterback. I'm sorry. The fact that Donald Brown is going to be the starting running back for the Indianapolis Colts, is Marshall Faulk in a wheelchair? Is there any way we could lure him out of retirement? I mean, you know, he's already in the Hall of Fame, so he doesn't have to worry about his 5-year window. But we got to get a running back. Does anybody actually think Donald Brown is an NFL starting quality running back?
I honestly don't believe that he is, but I think Dalon Carter is going to be the guy. He's going to eventually take over that role as starting running back. I mean, I really see potential in him. A lot of people don't see it, but I think that, you know, we drafted him for that reason, that, you know, he's going to eventually take over that spot. And I mean, I totally agree. Brown, you know, he needs to go, you know, and he's not working out. I mean, you know, I see him maybe at, you know, a third down pass on a different team, but not on our team.
Do you think there's any chance we pass on a quarterback and maybe take Trent Richardson, number one, since supposedly Pagano wants to build a team like the Baltimore Ravens, although since his introductory press conference, I don't know if Chuck Pagano is even in the city because we haven't heard a peep from him. Or do you think it's a foregone conclusion that absolute must the Colts will take a quarterback number one? I would almost take Trent Richardson number one. You're still going to get a high-quality quarterback with the first pick of the second round. Or do you think it's a done deal we're taking a quarterback first?
I really believe it's a done deal we're taking Andrew Luck. I mean, he's the biggest guarantee since Peyton Manning. I mean, you know, we're looking at the next 10 to 15 years, you know, with Andrew Luck, and I don't think, you know, I mean, you got to think of it this way. Do you really think that we're going to have a winning season this next season? No. No way. I mean, we'll be lucky if we end up 6-10. So we're still going to get a high draft pick for next year. So then use that high draft pick for next year, you know, and go get someone that we really, you know, someone else that we really need. And, you know, we need that quarterback because there's no one out there. And, you know, I do believe that Tannehill is going to be good, but, you know, when you got Andrew Luck sitting right there. I mean, that's just, you know, why, you know, you'd be dumb not to take him. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, the next couple years we're going to have high draft picks. I mean, I don't think we're going to have a winning season probably for the next three to four years, but I think, you know, by the time that fifth, sixth year rolls around with Luck back there at quarterback, we'll be back to our normal winning ways and, you know, be playoff contentions. But, I mean, we're going to be hurting for, you know, the next 2-3 years at least.
And then I've actually had the privilege of meeting you early in this football season. What do you think? And I just got season tickets, so I'm just now getting into the game at Lucas. And Evan, I don't know if you go to games at Lucas. What do you think it's going to be like at Lucas next year? Do you think it's going to go back to the early Manny days where you have somebody in section 600 drops a nacho chip on the floor? You can hear it all the way down by the 50-yard line in the first row of the stadium. Do you think it's going to be louder? Do you think it's going to be deathly quiet in there? And also, nobody's signing Dallas Clark. What's up with that? If nobody else wants him, why don't we at least give him a low-ball offer? Hope he takes it, and at least it'll be a weapon for Andrew Luck to take it. From what I've heard, nobody wants Dallas Clark.
Well, I'll comment on Dallas Clark first. I mean, it's shocking to me that he hasn't signed anywhere, and, you know, no one's even wanted him or anything. I mean, I totally agree with you. I think, you know, I mean, the guy does a lot for the community in Indianapolis and everything. He lives there, of course, and why not just bring him back, you know, just sign him on a one-year deal or something, you know, a low-ball offer, like you said, you know, I mean, that it's worth a shot, you know, I mean, it's definitely worth a shot. But as far as next year at the stadium, I don't really know what to expect. I'm on the move down list. I'm hoping to get a phone call from my ticket rep, someday or very soon, next couple of weeks, saying that I got moved down to at least 400 or something, and you know it's gonna be different. It's gonna be really different. But I mean, it's still gonna be packed every game. They're still gonna sell out, but if you're wanting to get into the game cheap, you're going to be able to get that. You're going to be able to go down there and, you know, you're going to be able to get tickets somehow, some way, and, you know, online or however, the tickets are going to be cheap. But, you know, it's definitely going to be different. And, you know, you got your season tickets now. You need to look me up when I go down there. I went to every home game last year. We need to go out, have fun, dress up, you know, get in that super, you know, get your own super fan outfit, and we need to go hang out, man. It's fun.
I was actually going to issue an offer right now. So when you're in Lucas Oil Stadium, we know where that retractable window is, the one window that opens.
Yeah.
My season ticket somehow, and I bought it from somebody, and I didn't know we could do this, but it got okay. I bought it from another fan, and I was able to keep it. They changed it to my name. I'm in the first row in the middle part right behind the field goal post. I think it's the best seat in the entire stadium, and I'd be honored if you would sit there with me at the home opener, Andrew Luck's debut as the rookie quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. I'd be honored if super fan would sit with me that day.
Oh, man. I cannot believe you got those tickets. Anywhere, like in the first row where I could turn around and get the crowd going, I mean, that's like my dream tickets. I mean, that, you know, that's just, I'm jealous of you. I'm totally jealous of you, but my one problem is I got my fiance with me too. So do you have a third or?
I actually have three season tickets. Maybe we should all go next year.
Oh man,
to the home opener.
You need to call me after the show. We need to work something out definitely. Because I mean, you're around. Anyone that's around us. I mean, we walk into a section and they're like, oh, it's on. Oh, here we go. You know. And we like, you know, throwing beats up to the crowd and everything, get everyone going and, you know, start chants or whatever. And, you know, we just have fun. We just have fun. I mean, you know, even if we're losing, we stay till that clock hits zero in the fourth quarter and everyone else is leaving. I don't care if it's 41-3. You know, we're there till the end. And, you know, it's just a blast being around us. And we get there early to the game. You know, we're like one of the first ones that get in the door, and we get down by the field, get some camera time, you know. Sometimes we meet some players, talk to some players, get some autographs, and then go hang out up by the band stage right there by the retractable windows right there at the end. And, you know, just hang out and, you know, get a ton of pictures taken, and we go up to our seats by the time the game starts, and, you know, it's just on from there. We have a great time every time we go.
What about you, Evan? You ever go down to Lucas Oil Stadium, go check out a Colts game, or do you tend to watch them on TV?
I've actually never been to Lucas Oil, and I've only been to one Colts game, and it was at the RCA Dome a couple of years ago. But I would at some point like to go down to a Colts game. I'm interested to see the stadium. It looks really nice on TV. I watch the Colts a lot. Bears are my number one team, being from Northwest Indiana, Chicago area, being born south of Chicago. But I do always keep track of the Colts, and I always watch the Colts whenever I can. I was always a huge Manning fan. Enjoyed watching them. But at some point, I would definitely like to get down to Lucas Oil and watch a game.
Well, speaking of the draft, I don't know where the Bears are picking in the first round. What do the Chicago Bears need other than a quarterback who doesn't cry every time he gets a bruise, or there's a hot chick and he wants to go fall into the bathroom, or he decides that his stomach hurts? Other than a quarterback who actually has some guts and some want to win, what do your Bears need?
Leave my boy Jay alone. Cutler's an interesting character, but I think last season he was really turning it up in all aspects of his game, and it was really unfortunate that he got hurt when he did, because that was when the Bears were playing some of their best football. But the Bears picked 19th this year in the draft, and there's a lot of different ways they can go with this pick. They need help on the offensive line. That's definitely been their area for concern. If they could put a line together to put in front of Matt Forte, I mean, it would be amazing. Of course, that's a whole other different subject with them not re-signing him to a long-term deal. But I think it'll be really interesting to see where the Bears go with this pick. One of the mock drafts that I keep up on has the Bears taking Quentin Coples out of North Carolina, big defensive end, nice pass rusher to kind of complement Julius Peppers. But I could see him taking a wide receiver. You know, Bears got Brandon Marshall, but they're still really without another big time wide receiver. You know, Hester is really inconsistent. Johnny Knox is undersized. They're really without that number two receiver, so I think they could definitely take a receiver with that pick, or they could also go on the offensive line. So it'll be a surprise pick, I think. I don't really know if anyone has a firm grasp on what the Bears are going to go after in the first round.
I personally think, and I'm interested to get both super fans, because I know super fan lives up in the Champaign, Urbana, Chicago area somewhere. And you're from up northwestern Indiana. What I think the Bears need more than anything as a new coach. I'm sorry, I know Lovie Smith got the Bears to the Super Bowl, although that was more by fluke than they actually deserved to be there, because maybe actually he needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Any team who can keep to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman as your quarterback, maybe he should be immediately inducted into the Hall of Fame. But I think they need a new head coach. I'm sorry, I can't see a guy with the first name of Lovie ever building a tough-minded football team. What do you think? Should Lovie stay or should Lovie go?
I like Lovie. I don't know him personally, obviously, but he seems like he's a genuine, down-to-earth guy. But I don't know how much longer Bears can really take of, just barely getting into the postseason, not making a run, coming short and not making the playoffs. I think if Lovie doesn't really get a big run in these next, two or three years maybe, then I think it's time to part ways.
What do you think, Superfan?
Yeah, I live 1.5 hours west of Chicago, and I absolutely hate the Bears. But my honest opinion about it is, I like Jay Cutler. I've liked him ever since, he came into the league. And, he has his tendencies of being, kind of a crybaby. But he's also, what people, don't realize, he's also the type that, he doesn't like to put up with a lot of people's BS, he is a fighter. And, the Bears' philosophy has always been defense, 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 defense. And they think that one person in the offense is going to change the whole complex of the offense. And they think that they add Jay Cutler, oh, we're set. We got everyone we need. They still don't have no wide receivers. I don't care what anyone says.
Devin Hester is a defensive back. He's never been a wide receiver. He's, you know, that was the stupidest move that they could have possibly ever made, was put him as a wide receiver. You know, if he's a Pro Bowl defensive back, and why do you change that? You know, now they're going to keep him a wide receiver, obviously. Now they got Brandon Marshall, which they should have went out and got Brandon Marshall when they got Jay Cutler. You know, but, I mean, Brandon Marshall's just a head case, and you don't know, you know, how many games you're going to get out of him, because you don't know what stupid stuff he's going to do off the field. So you don't know how many games you're going to get out from him. Johnny Knox, he's a good receiver, but after being bent like a pretzel that one game last year, I don't know if, you know, he's going to, you know, ever really come back from that, you know, totally. But, I mean, besides that, they have no one. And then they don't re-sign Forte. You know, I mean, that's just – that's the way that they think. They, you know, they're more. They seem. I always tell everyone that they're always like, okay, let's build up the defense enough to where no one can score any more than 10 points a game against us. No team can possibly do it. But they seem to forget that they have to score 11 on the offensive side of the ball to win the game. And they depend on the defense to win it for them and to score. They don't, you know, they have no weapons on offense besides 14. They don't even seem to care that, you know, hey, you're really, you know, pissing this guy off. You need to re-sign him. You know, and when his contract's up, I would not be surprised if he goes. I wouldn't be surprised if right now he's already made up his mind that when his contract's up, he's going to be gone.
You know where I think would be a great landing spot for Matt Forte? I don't know if it'll happen. The Super Fan, imagine me and you, we go to a game in the 2013 season. They had Deluxe in the second year. They go out, they sign a couple more free agents. Apparently, Gregson really likes fat guys on the offensive and defensive line, which is great because the Colts have never had a big, fat, nasty guy on the defensive line. But imagine we go to a Colts game next year. Deluxe, the quarterback, you got Reggie Wayne out right. You got another new wide receiver out to the left. And you got Matt Forte in the backfield. What would you think of Forte and Colts Blue in the 2013 season?
I don't know about that just because he came from the Bears, but you know that would be interesting. That would be really interesting. But I mean, I really am sold on DeLone Carter. I really think that he's going to be a good running back. If he's given the opportunity, and you know, he was, you know, last year he was kind of playing, you know, as the third string / second string, and I don't think they really gave him as much opportunities as, you know, as he should have got. But you know, this year, I mean, you know, you don't know what's going to happen this year. We're going to see everything's going to be totally different. We're going to go out there. We're going to see different formations, different strategies, different techniques. And we'll probably see some trick plays in there that Indianapolis Colts fans have never seen in the last 13 years. You know, and it's going to be really interesting to go out there and see what happens this year and what they do. Because, I mean, half the team is coming back, but a lot of faces that we know are gone. But it's not just the new faces that we see out there. I mean, all new coaches, totally different scheme and everything. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens.
I've heard something. I want to get yours and Evan's thought on it. I've heard several times. I've read different signs. I saw Philip B. Wilson at the Indians game. I've been told the starting linebacking core next year is going to be Mathis at left side, outside linebacker, Anger, and Connor in the middle, and Freeney at right outside linebacker with McKinney at nose tackle. They're going to draft two other big guys up front. How effective, if that's true, can Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney be now going into, I believe, their 10th and 12th seasons in the NFL at outside linebackers, or do you think that has disaster written all over it?
That's kind of... Wow. I don't even know how to comment on that because why do you take player out from his position that he's, you know, a Hall of Famer position and you're going to put him to a different one? That's kind of shocking. If that actually happened, that'd be that'd be, you know, wow. I don't really know how to comment on that.
What do you think, Kevin? Do you think it can work? Anyway, hopefully Evan's still with us so we know where to wrap the show up. But, Superfan, top three draft picks, who are they going to be? In what order?
Top Andrew Luck, RG3, and I really don't know. I think the third one could be traded away. We don't know what, you know, what team could possibly go get the third pick. I kind of think that someone's going to trade up to go get Tanner Hill.
Are you still with the seven? I'm actually going to think it. I actually think it's going to go Luck, Griffin, and I really like Trent Richardson at Alabama. Now, I keep hearing that in the second round the Colts are going to draft outside linebacker Courtney Upshaw from Alabama. Have you seen a play, Superfan, and do you think he would fit the new Baltimore Ravens, Indianapolis Colts defensive scheme now that we've finally gotten away from the god-awful Tampa 2?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that we need probably about another outside linebacker. I mean, you know, Anger is going to be, you know, he's going to be a good anchor there for the next, you know, 10 years if they decide to keep him that long. I mean, I really believe that, you know, he's, you know, he's an elite, you know, linebacker right there. And, we need defensive backs though too. I mean, I believe that we need some defensive backs and, you know, someone that can, you know, cover the wide receivers. We got burned a lot last year, and, you know, Bethea can't do it on his own. You know, I mean, that's, you know, he's back there in the safety position. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just not cutting it. And, you know, we need more help than, you know, we need more help than what we actually are, you know, seeing out there. I mean, it, you know, a lot of people, you know, say, oh, we need a quarterback. We need defense too. But we got burned a lot last year. You know, there's a few close games that I don't think we're even capable of winning in the first place. But I mean, there's still a few close games, you know, there last year that if we would have had, you know, some defensive backs, we would have been, you know, we probably would have won. But, you know, I mean, I think we still need an outside linebacker and some defensive backs.
It's something I'm curious about. Maybe you read something I haven't read. Did Ryan Grigson put Coach Chuck Pagano under a gag order? Or does Pagano just not like the media? Because I don't know if he's given a single interview. I know in his introductory press conference, he basically took Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots to school. For all intents and purposes, he gave him a virtual bird, the middle finger in his introductory press conference. He called the Patriots to the mat. Almost as much as you did talking about the Colts in his introductory press conference, and then nothing. Do you think that upset Grigson and you put him under a gag order, or does Pagano just not like the media?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, you got the owner that, you know, this guy tweets regularly and, you know, is always, you know, talking about something. And now, I mean, we have these new coaches and everything in the GM, and it's just we really haven't heard much of anything in the last, I don't know, 3 weeks. You know, I mean, we really haven't heard much. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, you know, it's not a team that we're used to anymore. I mean, it's totally different. It's just completely changed. The only thing that's the same is the stadium. You know, I mean, even now that I say that, I mean, you know, some of the banners and everything of Peyton Manning, they're, you know, probably going to be gone. So, I mean, even that's going to change. So, I mean, it's like, it's going to be a real interesting season, what's going to happen and what transpires and everything. And, the you know, I'm curious to see what the atmosphere is going to be like in there. And, you know, the coach ain't talking much. And, I mean, we don't really know what's going on with much of anything.
Well, I hate to cut you off. Hopefully, Evan's here to wrap up the show. You went to seven? But anyway, it's now the end of the balance for this week. As always, tune in next Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. when El Presidente will be back, and I'm curious to see if he's going to respond to Evan saying he could be a better host than El Presidente. And, Brian, I believe you're doing a little bit of work for us. I'm doing a little bit of work for us. If you have time and you want some actual, real, legitimate media reporting, go to IndyProSports.com, and as always, join us next Saturday, April 21st at 9 a.m. for the balance. Have a good day, Brian.
You too.